You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
There it is. Let's play that for a second.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
All right, everybody. Welcome.
Morning has indeed broken.
To the Political Cesspool, Saturday evening, November 12th. And we're live tonight, entire Team TPC together to talk about the new dawn in America. Sean Bergen back with us tonight, our good friend and correspondent. Sean was with me for the first hour of last week's show to make one last pitch at this thing. Sean, only God could have thought to use Anthony Weiner and James Comey in concert to bring about the election of Donald Trump. Hillary Clinton said today that it was James Comey who cost her the election. Of course, he wouldn't have reopened that investigation had it not been for Anthony Weiner. Who could have, and that may or may not be true, that that would have been the case, but that's what Hillary said.
That's their story.
Who would have thought, Sean? Who would have thought? Does the air seem a little bit sweeter? Does the sun shine a little bit more brightly today in New York for you, brother?
Oh, there's no question, James. I mean, it was just a week ago, less than a week ago, that we were talking about the demise of America and what that would look like and what America would look like under a Clinton presidency. She, of course, is, you know, there's an ongoing investigation into her that still continues, as far as I know, into the Clinton Foundation. We were looking at the prospect of having the first president in America elected who was under FBI investigation and could very well have been indicted and impeached all within the first year in office. Instead, as you said, God delivered America into the hands of Donald Trump, and glory be to God. My goodness, it's a new dawn in America. You can feel it. You can see it. You can see it when you go to the stores. People are spending money again. I think the economy will start to kick into overdrive now just in anticipation of pro-growth economic policies. You're looking at some of the people who he's kicking around for cabinet positions. And the sense and the feeling that I get is that the adults are back in charge again. So, you know, this is a very exciting time. He's got some fantastic people around him. He's got a great transition team together. He's almost thwarting the liberal left-wing arguments against him by the people who he's putting in place. I mean, he's got Kellyanne Conway, who's the first woman to ever win a presidential election. You've got Peter Thiel, who is an openly gay business entrepreneur. And then, of course, you have Dr. Ben Carson. So you have a woman, a gay man, and a black man are the first names mentioned in possible leadership positions going into this new administration. And it's going to be really funny and comical and interesting to see how the media tries to tap dance their way around this one, because they're not going to want to give any recognition to this at all. Instead, of course, they're going to be focusing on these, jackass riots slash protests, anti-Trump protests that are happening all across the country. This, of course, coming from people who, you know, looked upon Donald Trump as some type of Neanderthal when he said he may not accept the election results in the face of massive voter fraud that was suspected and that was being planned and carried out by the Democrat Party. Now that the shoe's on the other foot, of course, none of them can accept the election results. I mean, the liberal meltdown going on around the crowd is so satisfying to watch. When I hear all these celebrities who say, oh, I'm going to move to Canada. And where are they going now? They're all, now they're all creating excuses for themselves because these are people who don't have the courage to stand behind their convictions.
Well, what, Sean, this is Keith Alexander. To Miley Cyrus and all of those, we say, don't let the door hit you in the ass when you leave. And she can take her little device with her that she uses in her stage show.
Well, Sean, let me ask you two-part question, Sean. Your reaction, where were you? What was your reaction the moment you knew it was happening? For me, it was when they called Wisconsin for him. Where were you? What was your response? And on the flip side, what do you think the reaction was for the media at large the moment they knew it was over for Hillary? Answer those two.
I was at the Republican Party headquarters here in Suffolk County, Long Island, New York, which I'm happy to report Suffolk County was bright red in favor of Trump and the Republican Party. You know, the thing about New York State is many people see it as a blue state. The fact of the matter is 90% of the state is bright red, with the exception of New York City and Rochester and maybe one or two communities in Westchester County. Other than that, it's a bright red state. I was at Republican Party headquarters at Suffolk County, and I knew that the tide was turning when Donald Trump won Florida. When Donald Trump won Florida, I said, you know what? The Cubans have come out in force. All we need now is for the Amish to come out in Pennsylvania to turn the tide, brothers. And it was just so satisfying and so exciting to watch when you saw the split screen of what was going on at Trump headquarters in New York City and what was going on at the Clinton headquarters over at the Javits Center on the west side of Manhattan. I mean, the looks on the faces of these people who thought for sure they had it locked up. And it was just, the media meltdowns going on over at MSNBC. I mean, the reaction from those like, Rachel Maddow and Van Jones over at CNN. It was almost comical to watch all these people creating one excuse after another as to why their candidate lost. We have a sexist country. We have people who can't deal with the fact that, we might have a woman. There is an underlying sense of racism. No. The problem here is that your candidate sucked. She's an evil, twisted, horrible human being, and even in spite of the fact that you have a brainwashed, indoctrinated population that is driven by a corrupt news media and establishment Republicans who didn't really want to see this guy win, Donald Trump beat the entire world against all odds.
Yes, yes.
That's what he did. He ran the table, Sean, and a lesbian and a communist were very disappointed. Isn't that a shame?
These people, they better get used to it, because when you the difference now could not be more stark. We're going to see a nation go from the economic doldrums into possibly one of the greatest economic booms we've seen since the Industrial Revolution.
Look at the stock market.
Yeah, the stock market hit a record high. It was predicted, the ass to drop out of it. I mean, all these Democrats, the gloom and doom and what's going to happen. The earth is going to, the country is going to collapse. No. Quite the opposite is going to be true. And the American people are going to be able to see the difference between, successful conservative policies that succeed everywhere and every time they're attempted, no matter who the front man is. It could be Reagan.
Common sense triumphs.
Amen, Brother Sean. We've got Sean for one more segment. We're going to turn him loose and get more thoughts, reactions, opinion, and analysis from the one and only Sean Bergen, who played a big role, I believe, in this Trump victory. And we'll be back with him right after this, so stay tuned.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Sean Bergen was talking, mentioned Van Jones's name earlier in this hour. I even saw Rush Limbaugh now, who's certainly to the left of us, but to the right of some, to the right of many, I guess. But Van Jones said we had a white lash. All these people were just coming out because they hated Obama because he was black. Rush Limbaugh said, you know what? Everybody else votes in their interest. Why can't whites do it too? Well, congratulations, Rush. I'm glad we gave you a safe birth.
The light's coming on over his head finally.
I'm glad we could move so far that we gave you safe harbor. But anyway, that was good on Rush for that. But Sean, the other question I asked you, certainly we were aware of your reaction. The media at large, we can't point out to any single one, I guess, because they're all interchangeable. The media at large, when they knew it was over, what do you think they felt? I don't guess they have souls, but what do you think they felt and what would have been a soul for most people?
I was going to say they probably felt shame, but that's kind of tough for people who are, by and large, shameless. The New York Times came out with an article following the election upset, the greatest shocker probably we've seen since, Truman beat Dewey. They were pondering the question, how did we get it so wrong? And I thought to myself, you got it so wrong because you're a bunch of crackpot liberals who masquerade as journalists, and you always put your ideology in front of everything. Everything else is secondary. It comes before your professional duties, comes before your business dealings, and it probably comes before most of your personal relationships. And so you're so blinded by your ideology. The blind spot is, as large as the Atlantic Ocean, that you are incapable of seeing these things. You're incapable of grasping what so many of us really just we're able to sense and feel in our gut. Van Jones mentioned the white lash, and I thought to myself, it's not a white lash, it's a work lash. People who want to go back to work are determined to go back to work because they're sick and tired of trying to depend on a government check, Mr. Van Jones. So, this is another guy who's just so clueless that they can't get it. It's not that they refuse, it's beyond their grasp. The very best that they could hope to do is to put a few conservatives in that newsroom around the table, you know, people from maybe from military backgrounds, religious backgrounds, business backgrounds, conservative backgrounds, instead of having the same, you know, brainwashed, indoctrinated liberals who came up through the liberal college system or liberal journalism schools. Because, basically those editorial murdings, turn into like an intellectual circle jerk in the morning.
Well, Sean, this is Keith Alexander. One of my takeaways is that journalism is no longer worthy of being considered a profession. It is.
No, it's a racket.
It is. It's a racket. You know, what was it? Eric Hoffer said that every religion event, you know, becomes a business and then becomes a racket. They're in the death throes of their profession or their occupation now. There's no professionalism to it. They're subjective when they're supposed to be objective. They're biased when they are supposed to be unbiased. And, you know, the emperor has no clothes. We all know now what they are and what they have been really basically for the past 50 years.
And we found out, Sean, together that the people were able to break the shackles of this attempted mind control. The people repudiated the media along with every other institution on Tuesday.
Yeah, the mind benders of the media just has, you know, no power over America anymore.
Well, you know, these clowns abandoned any pretense at objective journalism with the arrival of their political boyfriend, Barack Obama. But what we saw during this last election cycle was they went full-on Democrat Party operative. And they were shameless about it. I mean, you had directives from, Dean Baquet, who was the managing editor of the New York Times, instructing his reporters to abandon any sense of objectivity and go out to try and destroy Trump. Look, the American people have ingrained in them a very deep sense of fairness. And they know and they're able to recognize when somebody's being railroaded. These people who sit in these, these editorial meetings in New York and Washington and Los Angeles exist in a bubble. And what they have demonstrated is the massive disconnect that exists between liberals in the media and the public that they're supposed to be serving. They're not serving the public. They're serving some crackpot ideology that saw its glory days about a half a century ago, and they're just so obtuse that they can't get their head around it. There is no hope for journalism. Free and fair journalism is dead, and it died in the year 2016. What that's going to mean for the future, I don't know. I think people are going to just go around the news media and start tuning into programs like this one. They're going to go to websites like Breitbart. They're going to get their news off the Drudge Report. You know, I mean, I think Fox even has some rejiggering to do over there to get back on course.
It's surprising that Fox News has so many people that are basically lukewarm at best for Trump. They're the one that
O'Reilly and Hannity were the two that kept it together.
And
for
so
him.
Many of the other ones like Krauthammer and Karl Rove and people like this, they were ready to stick the knife in the back like Brutus or like Cassius at any moment. It's in Memphis.
It's part of the Washington elite. I mean, and they, they view a guy like Trump as being boorish and crass and really just not on their level, some kind of, political Neanderthal. And what people are unable to recognize is that Trump is really a college-educated street guy. When you work in the New York City building construction trades, you're dealing with street guys. And, Trump has risen to the top of that world. But the problem is that these folks just don't get a guy like him. They don't understand him. And their mortal error was that they did not understand his appeal to guys out there who are swinging hammers and turning screwdrivers, the people who fix things and make things in this country, who really want to go back to work.
There are going to be a lot of out-of-work elites, I think. I predict.
I hope so.
Once Trump gets ensconced in Washington.
Send them packing.
His instincts, Sean, were so spot on this whole election. He outthought, outmaneuvered, and relied on his – you talked about being streetwise. His gut instincts made him smarter than
everybody else. No pun intended.
He broke every law of political gravity available out of there. He ran the most unconventional campaign anyone's been witness to. He won spending a fraction of the money. He did it on social media, and he did it also – by keeping his name in the news. So when people say, oh, my God, I can't believe he just said that, that guy knows exactly what he's doing. He knows how to manipulate that circus. He knows how to manipulate the media. And, you know, rather than the other way around, the media thought that they could manipulate the American public when, in fact, it was Trump who was playing the media like a puppet. He played them, you know, he played them like a master. And as a result, he won, in spite of the fact that Clinton had this, you know, massive amount of money she was sitting on, this massive ground game operation that we'd heard so much about. In the end, Trump was right.
Trump reinvented political campaigning for president. Let's just say that's what he did.
All right, Sean, last question. We only have about a minute left. The future. Now, tonight we're celebrating the victory, but we got to stay on Trump. We got to make sure he delivers. Obviously, it's going to be better than Clinton. Is it as good as we hope?
Yeah, I believe so. When I look at the people he has surrounded himself with, and the names that are being tossed out for cabinet picks now look pretty good to me. A lot of people are talking about Rudy Giuliani for attorney general. I mean, I remember him as a prosecutor here in New York. He was the one guy who had the courage to take on and ultimately defeat and dismantle large portions of the American mafia. And most people thought that they were untouchable. He would be dynamite as an attorney general. I'm seeing Sheriff David Clark's name tossed around out there. John Bolton, perhaps, as Secretary of State. Newt Gingrich is going to play a role in national security. Maybe he'll be a national security advisor. Rens Priebus looks to be chief of staff. This is a guy who knows Washington inside and out. He's handed his transition game over to Mike Pence, who also knows Washington inside and out. You know, Trump is not afraid to go to a heavy hitter like Chris Christie and say, Chris, you got to step aside. There's not a lot of guys out there in the world who have the balls to do that kind of stuff.
And I think the names you mentioned, they've all been loyal, so they're going to get rewarded.
Except
but at the end
Bolton.
Of the day,
Bolton was a neocon.
He was at the convention. I saw him. But for the most part, he didn't play a role in the victory. But he's going to be loyal to the people who were loyal for him. Good on him for that. But at the end of the day, the buck's going to stop with Trump. But I'll tell you, Rudy is AG. The domestic terrorists and the Black Lives Matter rioters, it's going to be a tough day for them. Sean, quite possibly your best appearance yet, and that's saying something. We'll talk to you next time.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. During the campaign, Donald Trump promised on several occasions that he would not only authorize the use of waterboarding, a form of controlled drowning, but even harsher interrogation methods. Military and intelligence officials criticized that statement, and CIA Director John Brennan said he would resign before authorizing the use of torture by his agency. Trump has at least one unflinching ally in Arkansas Republican Senator Tom Cotton. Waterboarding isn't torture, Cotton claimed in a recent CNN interview. We do waterboarding to our own soldiers in the military. The practice to which Cotton refers is part of the Survival, Evasion, Resistance, and Escape Training Program, which explicitly refers to waterboarding as a form of torture to which American POWs might be exposed. According to Cotton, waterboarding is acceptable because we've done it in the past. This is true. And it is also true that the U.S. military has recognized the practice as a form of torture and a war crime for more than a century. The Army first employed it during the U.S. occupation of the Philippines following the Spanish-American War. In 1902, the Army court-martialed and convicted Major Edwin F. Glenn for war crimes after he fatally waterboarded a Catholic priest who was suspected of harboring Filipino insurgents. Following World War II, Japanese military leaders who authorized waterboarding of U.S. and Allied POWs were convicted of war crimes and executed. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you are somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetents? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us, theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Oh yeah, oh.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the political cesspool. We are moving along tonight with TPC family members and cast and crew reflecting on Trump's victory. From Sean Bergen now to Jim Lancey, our criminal justice correspondent. Jim, your reaction to what happened on Tuesday night?
Well, it's good to be on with you guys. And, yeah, there's a lot to be happy about. I am not normally a political guy. I'm pretty much apolitical. There hasn't been much to be happy about in a long time in this country politically. But I'm very excited. I feel that if Trump is allowed to do what he wants to do, I truly believe this country can really make a turnaround. I mean, from $20 trillion in debt, it's got to be all uphill from here. I mean, it's got to be good. Something has to come out of this. I mean, it can't get any worse. Just the one thing that really used to make me pull my hair out is the fact that we never taxed China for bringing goods in, and they taxed us for bringing our goods in there. I don't know how a country can prosper just by that one practice alone.
Well, a good point. And I want to ask you this, Jim. Of course, typically when you're on the show, you're on to talk about matters of law enforcement or pertaining to law enforcement or some sort of civil unrest, and we have you on in those instances. We were mentioning this with Sean just a moment ago. As a social conservative, I have some areas of disagreement with Rudy Giuliani, but I think if he is tapped as AG, I think, again, and we said this just before the break, and I think I ran into the break, so I'm not sure if it all got out there, but if Rudy is appointed as AG, I think he's famous in New York for saying protesters can have sidewalks, but they won't take the streets. I think a lot of this domestic terrorism we've seen thriving under Obama, and certainly some of the more thuggish and riotous shenanigans from Black Lives Matter, I think it's going to be a dark day for those two entities if Rudy is tapped as AG or any tough guy. And Sheriff Joe Arpaio, who is now available after having lost his re-election bid as sheriff, he's being, I think, batted around for Department of Homeland Security head. I mean, can you imagine that? And even if he doesn't land there, he'll probably get some job in the administration. And then David Clark would be another great one with regards to putting an end to all of this unrest we've seen, again, thriving under the Obama administration. So as a man who spent a career as an alpha cop, your reaction to those three names and others being put in positions of authority over matters such as that, potentially?
Well, that's a good question. I think Rudy Giuliani, I mean, everybody always has something that they, you know, that they have in their closet that they may not like. But as far as a pick for AG, I mean, I think it's great. First of all, if you look at what he did in New York City, he has proven that he can clean up the largest city in the United States from the mess that Dinkins created, from what New York City used to be to what it was under Giuliani. It was like night and day. He cut the crime rate down unbelievably, and for a city that large, that's a major accomplishment. Now, if he became Attorney General, it would be nothing but good, because from his background as a prosecutor and mayor of New York and how he handles the police and crime, it would be such a breath of fresh air after having that criminal holder and the criminal lynch in there. I mean, you can't pick two worse people
Yes.
for Attorney General than Holder and Lynch. They are literally criminals, and they've gotten away with breaking the law so many times under be under the authority of the highest law enforcement official in the United States. It's shameless, but I believe names like Rudy Giuliani, Sheriff Clark, great picks, and it could do nothing but good for the country.
Eddie the Bombardier Miller now switching seats with Keith Alexander, who left in the last break, so he's going to be riding shotgun with me for the remainder of the program. He has a question for you, Jim.
Hey there, Jim. I'm just going to say, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, fella. I just returned from New York. I did the New York Marathon last Sunday, and that was my third New York Marathon in a row.
Congratulations, by the way. Eddie back was in New York a week ago tonight. As you remember, we woke him up on the show to have him say hello before he ran the marathon last Sunday, but Eddie fresh back from New York. But anyway, go on, Eddie.
Well, I would like to say, and I can truthfully say, with all honesty, I felt much safer. You're talking about the crime. I heard the crime used to be horrible there in Manhattan, but that's my third year in a row to do the marathon. And I truly felt much safer there than I did here in Memphis, Tennessee. I saw no problems whatsoever. The cops were everywhere. I had my photograph made with the cops. They're the nicest, most respectful police you've ever seen. And now I've got a question for you. You know, we were talking about how corrupt Eric Holder was, and along with Obama and the Fast and Furious. Are we going to see, like Trump has hinted and some of the other people have hinted, are we going to see an independent prosecutor for Hillary Clinton and her endless crimes? And will that also be extended, that independent prosecutor be extended to investigate Eric Holder in Fast and Furious? What do you think about that?
Well, I would hope so, because they're both very serious crimes. I mean, as Fast and Furious, we know that what the damage has been done with that. And the only reason why he got away with that was because of the executive privilege that the president bestowed upon him. I don't think they should let that go. I think it should be reopened, because there's so much damage that has been done. As far as Hillary Clinton goes, she should not escape what has been revealed. I mean, we all knew she was criminal, but I had no idea how bad it really was until this was just recently opened up by the NYPD. And I hope it's pursued like President-elect Trump said he would do, because you cannot allow things like this to just go unavenged, because there's a lot of people that suffered, and America's looking for law and order. They're looking for equal distribution of justice. We don't want to believe, as American citizens, that people like Holder and Hillary Clinton and Obama could just get away with murder, literally murder, because of the high office that they hold and the influence that they yield. So, yeah, I think he will pursue it. He said he would, and I think he's itching to do it himself. I'm pretty sure he's keeping a low profile on it right now until he actually takes that oath of office.
Very good answer. We only have you for this one segment tonight, as we're trying to work everyone in, and we only have a minute or two left with you, so I want to be sure to get this question in. Maybe they're having a last gasp of fun before the hammer comes down on them. But all of these protesters that are causing trouble in liberal cities that went heavily for Hillary Clinton, do these protesters think they're teaching the Trump voters a lesson by tearing up the cities that actually went for Hillary? I don't know. But what do you think happens to people like that in a Trump administration?
Well, I believe that once he really gets in office, I think he's going to crack down on them. I don't think we're going to see Black Lives Matter run the streets like they did. They're certainly not going to be invited to the White House and have all their strategies planned. And that's what they're doing. Okay, we all know it. And these protesters, it's really the ugly side of America. I cannot believe the extent of, but we all know, again, Soros, George Soros, is funding this. I mean, these people don't even know what they're complaining about. They're being paid. It's probably the only job they're ever going to get, and that's it. But I do believe that under a Trump administration, stuff like this is going to be kept to a bare minimum. It's not going to have the influence that it's had under Obama. Obama actually condones anti-police, anti-white, I'm going to say it, anti-white violence. I mean, look at some of the recent videos that came out. A 60-year-old man beaten up for voting for Trump and his car stolen.
Yeah, yes, yes.
Video. I mean, that's atrocious. This is stuff that you don't see in a civilized country, yet we see it every day now in the United States. And again, we'll go back to the mainstream media. They say nothing about it. It's It doesn't faze them one bit. It's almost like it's being accepted, and we can never accept that type of behavior. And, yes, under Trump, you're going to see a lot less of these hissy fits being thrown by these fools. And I bet you the Black Lives Matter movement can be crushed with all the racketeering they're involved with. And I'm pretty sure Trump will be able to stomp them out.
Jim, I'd like to make a quick statement. I want to ask you a question. I was alive when federal troops were sent into Little Rock, Arkansas to suppress white people. I saw the same federal troops come into Birmingham, Alabama, and I saw the federal troops come into Oxford, Mississippi. I say if it's good enough for Little Rock, Oxford, and Birmingham, it's good enough for the Black Lives Matter, though, these left-wing communists.
People who are actually committing crimes.
That's right. And my question is, and I think we visited this, I'm going to revisit a question I asked you on an earlier show. Is there a chance we can prosecute people like George Soros, who was the
great
obvious,
question. Great question.
Obvious.
Or at least investigate to see what role he played in the violence and in the anarchy. That'll be the last question to you, Jim. The music's playing. Yes or no answer will have to do, Jim. Can they investigate Soros?
Oh, of course they can. He's involved in so much. I'm surprised they haven't done it already.
All right. All right. So maybe under a Trump administration, we can look forward to that. Jim Lanzia, everybody. Check out his book on Amazon.com, Downtown White Police. Jim, love you, brother. Talk to you next time. Sam Bushman up next.
Thanks a lot.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking because since I was little I was taught that smoking was wrong. And in school, from a very young age, I was taught that smoking was not acceptable.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think smoking, for everybody, no matter what you say, leads to other things because it just opens the door wider and wider.
Other studies have found that if you don't smoke in high school, you probably never will.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it because the way I was raised has helped. And having the faith in God while I was raised and knowing that there would always be somebody there for me has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Welcome back. Get on the show, call us on James's dime at 866-986-6397.
Now, if there's one man who's been in the trenches with me for the past 18 months, it's Sam Bushman. Man, have we been in it together and coming out shining on the other side. It has been a wild and raucous 18 months. Election night, election day, the day of the election, Sam was on the radio for 8 hours, 8 hours in a 24-hour period, and he's with us tonight to offer his reflections and reactions to the Trump victory. Sam Bushman, owner of Liberty News Radio Network, and of course, the legendary talk radio host of the Liberty Roundtable program, broadcasting Monday through Friday on this network. Sam?
James, it's a delight to be on the program with you guys and do a little bit of celebrating. You know, I was on the air, as you know, for 4 hours straight watching this thing unfold. And when it dawned on me that Donald Trump was really going to win, it became surreal a little bit. And the words that came to my mind is, thank our God. Because I'm convinced that, you know what, without the Almighty's influence and hand in our lives and hand in our nation's progress and everything else, we would be in serious trouble. Now, I'm not going to say it would be the end of our nation if Hillary took over. I think it would be a lot of darker days, that's for sure. But you know what? The Lord will come. Jesus Christ will return. And you know what? It's about preserving this nation until he does. And the Lord gave us a wonderful blessing. And so on one hand, my heart said, thank our God. And then my thought came and said, you know what? It's wonderful. We need to celebrate. We need to be appreciative and grateful and happy. But now it's time to do our part. Now it's time to, we don't want to just get all excited and let those guys score points on the other end while we're celebrating. We want to be very careful to say, all right, what needs to happen next? Now we've been given a wonderful blessing. Thank our God. Now, what do we do with that to make sure that we answer our God with obedience? And there's a few things that I think Donald Trump really needs to do. And I'm going to give you three things, and I'm going to give you the order of those things that need to happen, in my opinion. Number one, we need to repatriate the money overseas. It'll bring in about, some are saying $2 trillion, others are saying more, dollars to the economy literally instantly. Secondly, all the Republicans and Democrats agree that it needs to happen. No one's provided the appropriate leadership to get it done to date. But even the Democrats believe that this is a necessary step. And if we're going to talk about shredding trade agreements and everything else, let's start by bringing our money back and saying, all right, now that we've got the money in hand by businesses all over the country, literally trillions of dollars in private sector money, now let's renegotiate trade deals. But let's get our money back first and bring it into America. It'll be an incredible shot in the arm, to say the least. The reason I say that first is I don't think it's most important, but I think it really speaks of lower taxes. It really speaks of injecting the American economy with solutions and money. And it really speaks of action that I think both sides of the aisle are going to have a hard time opposing. And so that's why I say it's first. It's a shot across the bow, but it's also one that can unify, and it's one that can be done fairly easily, and it would get the ball rolling. Secondly, I think we need to clearly stand on a pro-life message. We need to literally come out and say, you know what? We are going to overturn Roe versus Wade now. Okay, we're not going to murder anymore. We're just not going to be the pro-death country. Okay, and we're going to overturn Roe versus Wade, and we're going to defund immediately Planned Parenthood. We're not going to fund tyranny and death. We're just not going to do it anymore. We're going to truly respect women. We're going to respect their babies as well. We're not going to let the Planned Parenthood promote the race card and murder blacks at a greater rate than the rest of the population. We're going to stand for freedom for all. So we're going to shut down Planned Parenthood, at least in terms of government funding, and we're going to clearly overturn Roe versus Wade. Now that we've got all of our money back in America where it belongs, now that we've shut down the pro-death folks, the third thing we're going to do is we're going to shut the border down immediately. And whether you want to say build the wall or whether you want to say use appropriate measures, I don't care. All of those things are on the table. But we need to absolutely shut down the border and say, look, we're going to have appropriate cooperation between us and other countries or no one's getting in. And as soon as we get that done to stop terrorism and criminals, we can talk about other solutions from that point. Those are my three direct guidelines or suggestions for Donald Trump for solutions. And by the way, I've been giving Donald suggestions the whole time, and he's taken many of my suggestions as well, James. So this isn't just, you know, teeny old Sam babbling over here. The fact is we know that he listens. One of the key things that I've been saying he should do is take no money for his salary. just say, you know what, guys, I don't need your money. I'm here to serve as a great CEO would serve. And literally, I said that months and months and months ago, and now Donald just announced that's exactly what he's doing. So I hope he takes my other three suggestions as well. What are your thoughts, James?
Well, there's no doubt about it. Him personally, certainly his campaign, how could they not be listening after as much as the media has tied us to them and vice versa and raised both real and imagined? But I think your three points are stellar. That in addition, folks, listen, Sam covered this on his show, I believe it was Thursday, for nearly the full 2 hours. He broke this down and unpacked it. You need to go listen to Liberty Roundtable on Thursday. Sam broke down President Trump's first 100 days. This is something that was released by Donald Trump and his campaign. It's a 100-day action plan to make America great again. You have got to go and listen to Sam's coverage of that, number one, but we also posted the entire list on our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. You go to the November 11th blog roll, and President Trump's first 100 days is the title of the piece. If he accomplishes half of that in the first 100 days, as I said earlier in the show, he will do more good for this country than all of the presidents combined have done in the past 100 years.
And I agree with that, James. And one of the things that we need to make sure we do, though, you know, when a politician wants to do something right, we need to make sure that we stand behind them and give them the solid support that they need. No one likes to be hanging out there in the wind exposed. And we need to make sure that, number one, as this plan unfolds, it could take a lot of directions depending on who's surrounding the Donald. We need to make sure that we are clearly advocating the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, as the blueprint. We need to make sure that we literally say, you know what, the 10th Amendment is your best friend, Donald. Release the federal government from these unconstitutional obligations that we've ignorantly forced upon the federal government. Let's reduce the size and scope of the feds. Let's return power to the states through the 10th Amendment. Let's let freedom reign. Let's use the Constitution. We can get this done. And if we help him unfold, unpack his plan in a meaningful, supportive, guidelined, solution-oriented way with giving the states the proper power they deserve, we can really change the game. It's about how this plan unfolds that matters. I don't care if it's 100 days or 200 days or whatever, but that's where we need to be standing now, in the right camp for solutions, and give him the guidance necessary to really take back the narrative and accountability.
Sam, the bombardier here, fellow, you did a great job. There's one area I disagree with you on. I do not think anyone could do something for nothing. That's admirable, I guess. But I think if you want to show a good example in a capitalistic country, like even in the Baptist church.
Are you talking about him serving for free, you mean?
Yeah, I don't believe in doing anything for free.
Well, we shouldn't make him do things for free, but if he volunteers, anybody can volunteer to do anything they want to.
If he can volunteer.
That's volunteerism. You volunteer for the show,
on this program
for
free right now.
That's
if you want to pay me, if you go to libertyroundtable.com, my friend, you can put as much cash as you want in the mixer.
Well, I'll do it.
I think Sam got you.
Your point is well taken, that we can't expect everybody to work for free. The reality is there should be just compensation for work done. I concur with that general principle. Just so you know, even if he serves for free with his salary for the next 4 years, he'd let go of $400,000 a year for 4 years. That's about $1.6 million as I calculate it. But the reality is he'd make more than that in his businesses just by the very notion that he's serving his country for free, and he'd probably make 10 times that amount of money, not to mention that he'll have a pension from your government for life, sir.
And I think the Trump brand will probably do pretty good now that it has a president of the United States. But anyway, go, Eddie.
Well, now for the questions, Sam. I don't know if you – did you know that I believe it was yesterday where I saw that Trump said that he is going to reopen the 9/11. He's going to reinvestigate into the 9/11.
And my response is yesterday. Let's get it done. Accountability and transparency. Yes. Amen.
Amen to that, brother. Now, I think all these things he's doing, Sam, and I'm 90% sure you'll agree with me, unless Trump can get hold of the Fed, of the Federal Reserve.
You're right about this, and on my program, Kurt's top choice, I asked everybody that came on the program, what thing do you think Trump needs to do the most? And Kurt Crosby said, we need to not only audit, but end the Fed and go back to constitutional money. You'll never have a free country if you have dishonest money at the helm. It's called honest weights and measures in the Bible. It's constitutional, and we need to return to it, and you're absolutely spot on. And Kurt on my program made your same point, Eddie. You're right as rain.
The shekel was great, but the bushel was small, so saith Hosea.
The widow's mite is what I say.
That's
but
right.
You know what? Here's something else, Sam. I don't care what he does. We know that every depression and bubble that we've had has been created by the Federal Reserve, and they don't like him, Sam. And I'll ask. I guess this is, as James liked to say, rhetorical question. If he's in there and he tries to do all these wonderful things, do you think the Fed is going to torpedo him by crashing crashing the dollar, crashing the
economy?
They're
going to try to do everything they can to shut down every initiative that he's got. There's no doubt about that. And my response is you turn to God and you obey proper principles and you let people govern themselves. And you know what? You just do what's right and trust in God to handle the yahoos. That's my opinion.
Well,
that's what we did all along. Kurt's right and you're right.
Kurt's right. You trust in God, but you in the Federal Reserve.
Yeah, we do our part.
And in the Reserve.
Because you can only trust God if you're doing what you're supposed to do. Obedience generates confidence in God, right?
That's right.
Well, the Jubilee ends after tonight, as Sam mentioned. We celebrate the victory, but we got to stay on Trump after this. I'll repeat what I said earlier. We've won nothing but an opportunity, but it's an opportunity that was granted by God's grace and the hard work of a lot of people, our guest right now included. Really one of the trailblazers, Sam Bushman. We love you, brother.
Thanks, James.
We'll be back third hour right after this.
Here on the Liberty News Radio Network.